Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon to you, Bless. And rounding out the crew for today, we have the Nitro Rifle, Texas Treat Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, rooting, tooting, three-point shooting, Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
You haven't missed a beat this whole year, Tim.
I love it.
You've just been so on.
Bro. It's just so much fun. Like, the moment I say rootin' tootin', I just can't wait to say three-point shoot.
Turn into a cowboy.
You know? It just gets so fun.
Well, that was Nick who added the rootin' tootin', and it was just rootin' tootin', and I was exactly. Like, what if we ride him with three-point shooting?
Yeah.
But can you imagine that? Me walking down the WWE tunnel.
I can.
And you're going, because I'm the globe-trotting, head-shotting, not trying. Everybody's like fucking doing all the
chants. It's the best.
Think about that. That's
going to happen one day.
Use some of your clothesline.
Yeah, I'll do an elbow drop on Nick or something.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Powerbomb his bitch.
I want to see you do a frog splash. I think you got one good frog splash in you.
In me?
For the rest of your life.
But it'll take like 22 years off my lifespan.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be super sweet.
Very detrimental to me.
Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. And it's review. That's not even a season anymore. It's just life now.
All year long.
Will next year be this again? Probably. We're just going to be playing games.
They call that global reviewing.
That's what it is.
global reviewing is
what's occurring right now.
Climate change.
Stay tuned, honestly, to all of Kind of Funny's content. I know that we do a lot, but please subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunny.
I don't think we do enough.
we can upload more videos.
All of the various podcast feeds, like honestly, Kind of Funny in Review, Kind of Funny Screencast, Kind of Funny Podcast, Games Daily, PS I Love You XOXO, Kind of Funny Xcast. If you could subscribe to all those on podcast feeds, that would be awesome. And I promise you, if you do that, we will deliver the goods these next couple months because we have so much cool stuff to talk about, so much great games to cover, hopefully not that many bad games, and movies as well, TV shows, all that stuff. So please support us over there. Remember, every day we are streaming, we do Games Daily covering the news, and that goes right into a Twitch stream where normally Andy, Nick, and Mike, with always fun poppins from other people, we'll be playing some games over live on Twitch or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Tomorrow, big day, Thursday, my birthday. I'm playing Returnal on PC with Blessing.
It's your birthday Eve right now.
I can't believe it's your 25th birthday.
Birthday
Eve.
26, actually. Come on.
I love that. So that'll be fun. That'll
but
be
young enough to stink.
The day you're seeing this, that'll be happening. So come hang out with Andy on his birthday there. Of course, you can also get this show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. We'd appreciate it if you did that, just like our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. You are the best of us.
Thank you. That is a fact.
But if you don't have a dollar to toss our way, that is cool. You can use our Epic creator code, kindoffunny, on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support kindoffunny. Returnal is on Epic Game Store, I think.
Who knows?
Probably. And if it is, if you're buying it, go for it. Have you played yet? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I can talk about it. It feels great on keyboard mouse. This is like the game, a perfect game was made even more perfecter.
Well, there you go.
Perfecter.
Get it using our code. Is it? Oh, there
How
it is.
How about that?
That's
there it is.
Store.
How about that?
Use our code. Kind of funny. Thank you very much for that. Today we're brought to you by Shady Raisin Honey, but I'll tell you about that later. Just a little housekeeping. I want to give another shout out to Barrett's hour-long breakdown of the Tears of the Kingdom trailer that you can check out in all the places you'd expect to see it. And what else do you want to shout out here, Bless?
Just KFG in general. KFG's been killing it. Mm-hmm. So go check out KFG every single day, every morning. Twitch.tv, mm-hmm. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Gonna be great,
yeah.
Great for everybody,
and also check out the last episode of the Blessing Show, the non-game of the year awards for 2022.
Don't watch Greg's one.
Don't watch Greg's episode.
Please don't. We're gonna talk about something today. A little game.
One more thing I want to shout out because I believe this comes out later in the day tomorrow. after. Let me look up the calendar.
Yeah, let's look at the calendar really quick.
Yes, we can talk about this. So PS I Love You XOXO should be up by now, and that should be our PlayStation VR 2 and Horizon Call of the Mountain reviews.
Wow.
So you want to check that out for sure.
That is an excellent point. Yeah. Again, just subscribe to all of our stuff and just be ready, because we're going to deliver the goods, and it all starts a couple weeks ago, but it's going to continue forever. So have fun with that. But let's have the fun continue. Hopefully we're going to talk about some good stuff here. I actually don't know what
you
the
don't know shit. Dude.
I don't know shit about what we're getting into here.
Oh, man.
A game called Wild Hearts. Andy, you've played it. Bless, you've played it. Andy, you're lead reviewer on this one, so I want to get your thoughts first on what you think of the game. But first off, what is this game? What's the top level pitch?
Wild Hearts is a game by Omega Force. This game was published by Koei Tecmo and EA Originals. It is just straight up a Monster Hunter game. It'd be tough to call it a Monster Hunter-like game, because it's just straight up Monster Hunter. If you kind of blur your eyes and look at it, you're like, yeah, that's seems like Monster Hunter. All the way down to the animations are very, very similar. You have a bunch of different weapons you can choose from and customize, fight awesome beasts that eventually transform in all their different phases. You are trying to rid the land of this sort of like weird kind of disease that's going on, and all these monsters are affected by it and kind of ruining the region. So you're trying to take them out while like getting cool loot from them, and then using that loot to upgrade your weapons. The biggest twist, though, the thing that sets it apart from a Monster Hunter game, are these sort of magical crates that you have. And when we first saw this in the first couple trailers, I was like, that looks like a lame gimmick. Just give me the weapon. I'll just do that. I don't really care about these little abilities you get in the game. But I think these abilities make the game what it is and make it great. This is a 4 out of 5 great for me. So far, I'm not done with it, but I'm about like 35 hours in. I've been playing the shit out of it.
Wow.
I can't stop playing it. I really, really, really like this game. I think it might be... I would have given it a higher score if it didn't look ugly sometimes, because the game is pretty unoptimized in a lot of different places. The game has like a day-night cycle that can cause things to look really flat and kind of gross sometimes. I posted a picture on Twitter last night that was like especially egregious. But the game's also suffering from a lot of performance issues on PC as well, which is when we requested codes, I always like to request two, because the state of PC ports these days has always been pretty bad and unhealthy. And whenever I start up a PC game, I go, nope, never mind. I'm going to play this on console, because I don't want to wait for 3 patches to come through for this game to be ready to play. The game is a shitload of fun, though, man. Blessing, me and Joey played it on Monday. I've been mostly soloing it this whole time, except for the couple times that we did sort of squad up and take down a couple monsters. Yeah, it's a Monster Hunter game. If you are into Monster Hunter, you will really, really dig this. The thing that sets it apart is like what I was mentioning earlier, these abilities that you get that you continue to evolve as you keep leveling up. It starts off with just like a basic crate. Think of it as like a defensive sort of Fortnite putting down walls thing when you're fighting these big enemies. And when you're fighting these big bosses, large, awesome, cool-looking creatures, you'll sometimes get a little in-game prompt that'll say, hey, hold down the L1 button and hit square, 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 or whatever button it is for you. I did a lot of key binding, remapping or whatever. And you'll put down 3 crates of walls, and then the enemy charges you, boom, hits the crates, gets knocked down. And you go, oh shit, this is what these crates can be used for. You can also jump off the crates to do a jumping attack.
Just saw something that looked dope as shit. Whoever was playing in this video missed the final hit, but they like set down a ziplined up over this giant monster, and then jumped down for a sword attack, which looked very cool and fun.
And it just keeps on getting bigger and badder and better. Like all of the abilities you keep on unlocking. It starts off with just those basic crates that you can stack on top to also use for a traversal in case you're trying to get somewhere just while you're running around the world. Not even necessarily during combat, but, oh, I want to get up there. I don't want to run around this whole route. I'll put up 3 crates. Then you sort of get a jumping boost off of it. Let me climb this little cliff and I'll be totally fine. It starts off with those crates, and then it turns into, there's a stake you could put down that has fire on it. When you run through it, your weapon now has fire damage, like that you just kind of use and destroy enemies with. There's also like a launch pad, right, Bless? There's a little thing you can kind of spring off
of. A
little
spring.
Jump towards the enemy. There's a an item you can use that can help you scale down really, really high heights because there is a fall damage death. You can fall really far without dying, but there is a limit that they do put it at, which was kind of surprising. But you can sort of put down a little item that when you grab it, it becomes like a little propeller and you can kind of just float down like Mario, you know, it's a little, when he's a little propeller block. The game is so fucking fun and it keeps on giving you newer things to unlock as you are progressing the story. You can summon a, you can put down a couple of blocks with a certain button combination and a big ass fucking hammer pops out and boom, hits the enemy, big damage sort of hit. And there's walls that eventually transform and become gigantic, big fortified walls that even tougher attacks can't get through. It just keeps on expanding and getting cooler and cooler. And I can't stop playing it. I'm having a blast. Bless, you've put in how many hours so far?
So I've probably played a bit more than like 10 hours. I've been split between Wild Hearts and then also doing PSVR review and other stuff. And so I've not gotten to play as much as I've wanted to, but this has been the game where out of all the games I've been playing the last month or so, this is the one that's been demanding most of my attention. When I'm not playing Wild Hearts, I want to play Wild Hearts, and that's the best compliment I can give to this 100%. Game because I'm not, historically, I've not been a Monster Hunter person. I've always wanted to be a Monster Hunter person, but Monster Hunter has always been either wrong place, wrong time for me. For when Monster Hunter World came out, I didn't know what I was doing, right? Monster Hunter Rise came out, I was playing different games, right?
Rise was the wrong place, wrong time for me. Now, World, I got really, really into.
Yeah, and Rise came out again last month. And again, it was another one of those things where I just wasn't feeling it in the moment, right? Like, there's nothing bad I can say about Monster Hunter games, right? This is all just a me thing in terms of where I'm at and like in terms of not being able to get into them. Wild Hearts was the one for me where I booted it up, started playing it, and I think the thing that first captured me was the building, where I'll describe it as a halfway point between Fortnite and Death Stranding, where you are building in the moment, right, in the way that you would do in a Fortnite, in the action, right? You are, all right, I got to build a wall, tap square, boom, build, and like with the building combinations, right, it's really cool because it is L1 square will build a crate, and then if you keep tapping, the crates will build in a way to where if you stack up six of them, it transforms and mechanizes into a bigger wall, and so you have like these building combos that I think are really cool and really creative. But yeah, the building is in the action, and they allow you to do the things like Andy mentioned, where you build a wall. If a big monster runs into it, it'll stun them a little bit, or you can climb the wall and jump off of it to get height to then maybe get like a better hit on the enemy, like an enhanced hit on the enemy. You have the
attack combos are insane.
The attack combos are incredible. You have like propellers, like Andy mentioned, that you can build, like a bunch of different tools that you can build that are, again, really fun to use in the moment. And then I bring in Death Stranding with it because they are built with purpose. You're not just building walls. You can build towers that'll help you find and detect the kimono, which are the names of the monsters in the game. You can build campfires, and like you can set up shop pretty much anywhere on these big open maps to like be your fast travel locations or be the locations you come back to cook food or set up camp or do whatever. And so like I really like that aspect as well. And then yeah, the combat is really fun. The assortment of weapons that you can choose from, even from the beginning of the game, I believe you have like five different weapons that you can choose from, being like a samurai sword, this like umbrella sword. What I use is the bow and arrow, which I was expecting the bow and arrow to be garbage just because most of the weapons you can choose from are these melee weapons, right? And so I'm like, all right, like let's see if the bow and arrow gets much love. And I fucking love the bow and arrow. I think it's a bit of an acquired taste. You know, I talked, or Andy was telling me that Mike, when he was playing, wasn't digging it. And I think that's mainly because
he wasn't hitting a shot. Dude sucks.
Yeah, he's fucking garbage. Yeah. We know this about someone like Mike. But also, it's the bow and arrow is weirdly close range. Like, it's not really a long range weapon in the game. And so you have to get up in your enemy's face. And then also you have to like charge it. And then also you have different, like the button scheme for the bow and arrow is different than what you'd expect, but I found it really fun to where you have two modes you can essentially be in, right? You can hold it upright or you can hold it sideways, right? And get crazy with it. but if you hold it upright.
Yeah, it was one moment where we're fighting a boss and Bless is like, all right, like it was almost like the lean forward gamer chair moment, where he's like, all right, I'm putting the bow sideways.
Yeah, I'm putting this around. Yeah. It felt like holding an Uzi sideways. Yeah. You know, I felt like I was in San Andreas. But you do that, and then you press square to go back and forth between sideways and upright. If you press triangle once with the bow and arrow, it does like a charge where your arrow or your bow starts glowing a little bit, and then a second triangle is like a second charge, and that both of those charges unlock basically like new forms of attacks to where, you know, if you're holding it upright, you press one charge, it does like a power hit. Press it twice, it does like a super power hit that takes a long time to actually let go of. If you're holding it sideways, charge once, and it does like a scatter, like repeat attack where you're like letting go of that thing fast. And then when you press triangle twice, so you get the double charge and you're holding sideways, it does like a
volley. Rain.
Yeah, like a volley, so you're raining from above. And all these attacks I have so much fun with doing, especially when you're playing multiplayer and it is Andy getting in the monster's face, building the big hammers to get down and doing all the melee attacks, and then me from far away charging, waiting for the right moment, and then like getting the perfect attack off where it is, you know, instead of doing 50, 30 damage, now I'm getting off like 300, 400 damage. It is so satisfying. It is so fun. And then the monsters, or the quote-unquote kimono themselves, are really cool. I really like their design. I'm with Andy, though, that the game doesn't always look pretty, and I think that is one of the bigger downfalls of it, is with these monsters that I'd say are well designed and look really cool, especially when they transform and get all these different qualities to them, the resolution and the fidelity of like even their fur and like the textures themselves, I think
you're playing on performance mode, right?
I am playing on performance mode on PS5
is, and
right. I don't know if you had that same thing with like the how they actually look, because it's weird. I like how they look, but I also don't like how they look at the same time. And it's just like an art direction versus art quality thing.
A lot of it comes down to just rendering power. This game is, again, like I mentioned, pretty unoptimized in a lot of spots. Later in the game, I saw a friend of ours, Skill Up, tweeting about certain areas where you can... there's a certain area later on in the game. I wouldn't even say late game, because I feel like I'm maybe halfway through. But you hit an area where there's snow, and the snow particles look god-awful, and it also just kind of tanks performance. Even on performance mode, you're dipping probably around like 40 frames per second every once in a while. I think that's legitimately the only thing that I'm holding it back from being like a 5 out of 5.
Dang, that's really cool. Bless you. Haven't beat it or not even close, but like, what would you err towards on the review scale?
I agree with everything Andy said, right? Like, I can see it being a 4 out of 5. Again, I'm very far from being, I guess, that far in the game. And so, like, I wouldn't give an official review, but I do co-sign everything Andy said. Like, I think that sounds spot on.
So, Andy, you were saying that you played a lot with people and a lot solo. Do you think that the experience is greatly enhanced with others, or do you still think that it could be a 4 out of 5 for you, even just alone?
If I was playing alone and still really, really loving it. When you're playing solo, similar to in Monster Hunter, where you have your little palico cat help friender guy, your little dude, your little monstie or whatever the fuck they call him. I didn't play Rise, so I don't have a whole lot of background there. In this world, you have an equivalent to that. They're like these little, they remind you of the Yahaha in Breath of the Wild.
The Koroks.
Koroks. They're little wooden orbs that are kind of like nature but also tech looking, and they help you out, and you level those guys up as well. So when you're running around the world, if you get stunned by a monster or whatever, your thing will like do something to get the attention of the monster, and then you'll see on the left your Sukumo took the attention away from the monster, so the monster's going to go attack that now. Cool. Then you can get out of the stun and kind of save yourself. Whenever you're low on health, if you level it up enough, it'll put up a healing mist for you. Whenever you are maybe low on materials, that you use materials to essentially build these items, and you can find the materials kind of scattered all around you. But if you're in a pinch and you need some, every once in a while, your little Sukumo, little friend guy, will throw out little, you know, building materials you can go collect and then continue in building to either defend yourself or attack the enemy. I will say a couple of recommendations for people. One of those, like, you know, imagine an article like, here's 5 things you should know before blah, blah, blah. I would say that I'm always kind of the person that mains one weapon. I don't really want to mess around. Once I find something, I'll stick with it. But you find so much joy out of kind of in your hub world. You eventually get like a little training dummy and you can test out these weapons on it. And when you go test them out, it'll tell you, hit R1 3 times for this basic combo. Hit R1 twice, then heavy for this combo. When you're jumping in the air, hit R1, hold triangle, and it kind of like teaches you the nuances of the combat. And it opens up in such a cool way where you're like, oh shit, I want to use this now, because this weapon is going to be cool as shit.
I had that same exact thing happen to me with the katana that you start off with, where, you know, I switched to bow and arrow pretty early on, and I learned all the bow and arrow stuff just by like messing with it. And it took me a while because that shit was complicated. It doesn't straight up just tell you these things unless you go to the training dummy. And so I went to the training dummy when I was like, you know what, let me test out some of these other weapons, and got to the part where it's like, all right, press square, all right, press triangle. And then I got to a part where I was like, all right, now press, I forget the button combination, but it was like R2 and triangle or something for when your meter's all the way up to then pull out your whip. And I'm like, oh, wait, I had a whip? Like, this is a thing that I could do?
Yeah.
And from there on, I was like, oh, this weapon's dope as fuck. I got to find more opportunities to bust this thing out.
I need to see Soonhee Legend do awesome gifts with it, because there's a weapon called... Sure. So you start with the katana, and I like the katana a lot. Very, very fast action, super fast, kind of get in, get out. You can get like 4 to 5 slashes off and then back away. Game's got a really good dodge roll and a slide away. Yeah, when you
love it.
It's got a good dodge roll for timing and iframes and stuff, but also just the sprint and slide away. Really good for getting out of danger. Or if you want to get even more out of danger, you can hold down the build tool, put down the little platform, and boom, you can bounce away and get even further away. So there's like really, really cool methods of transportation and just kind of maneuverability. But one of the weapons weapon that I moved on from after the katana was the big ass sword, right? Whenever I play Souls games, I always just have the big heavy sword that's like, it's going to be really lumbering, and if you hit one too many times, you're definitely going to be vulnerable for an attack from the monster. I moved to that weapon, which has really cool combos and really cool charge-up abilities. Much like Souls games and I believe Monster Hunter games as well, there's different types of damage. You don't need to pay attention to it a whole lot. I wouldn't say, like, don't overcomplicate it if you don't want to, but the hammer, big-ass fucking hammer, will be, like, a strike damage. There's enemies in this game. This boss is kind of made of rocks. They're going to be more vulnerable to a hammer hitting them as opposed to a sword slashing them. Mm. So the swords have slash damage. The arrows have like pierce damage or whatever. So the hammer's got a lot of really cool combos as well. There's a sort of staff that transforms. The staff transforms to a big ass shuriken that you can throw. And if you get it back, you can start timing on these combos where whenever you see like your character kind of blink, that means that you want to switch to the next weapon because that's going to build your kind of ultimate power. Go ahead, Tim.
Forgive my ignorance on this because I haven't really played Monster Hunter games. When you say switch weapons, are you talking about just switching modes like he's talking about bow and arrow?
No,
or can you actually like switch between from the katana to the hammer to the...
The staff is a transforming weapon.
Okay.
So the staff transforms into... So the katana is its own weapon. You have to equip weapons before you go out.
Yeah, you start on the fly. So once you're out in the field and you're hunting monsters, you are stuck with that weapon.
Yeah,
you have to go back and then switch.
But similar to like a Bloodborne where you have your saw blade that transforms, this staff switches into like 5 different weapons. Yeah, forms. And in order to do that, you see like your character blink, and if you time it right, you'll throw the shuriken. When it arrives, your character blinks, you hit triangle again, then it becomes this attack, staff hit down, blink again, it's 2 daggers, and it keeps on building and building up until the point where when you get the bar filled up enough, and you don't gotta do any of this shit. You can keep it simple if you like, but it just makes it that much cooler. It becomes a gigantic sword like the size of a fucking 18-wheeler. It's really, really cool. But the weapon I think you'll vibe with, Bless... Barrett, if we can find footage for this, it's called the Claw Blade. Mm. It's something you probably have, you're able to unlock it probably already, but it's a weapon that I saw, I was like, I don't really know, that doesn't really mean anything to me. But it's a kind of like claw with a rope attached to it, right? And you can like just melee people, and when you build up your special enough, you throw it and you pierce it into the enemy, and then you like zip towards them, do a bunch of fucking moves, you fly on the other side of them, you zip towards back to them, do a bunch of fucking moves, and you just keep on like kind of flying back and forth to them, and it mm-hmm. becomes so insanely cool and just visually awesome looking, where it makes me want to use it just to be that dude in battle that's like, oh, that guy's maining a claw blade, this guy's fucking badass, you know what I mean? We go, here's that sort of move where you can like dodge in midair, but
this is Attack on Titan,
and then you can zip right back them right here and like move, and then you'll fly on the other side of them, and this little circle bar is running out, and that's the amount of times that you can eventually go back to them. It is so...
That's dope as hell.
It's so badass, dude. So again, a weapon that I never thought I would use, because I'm like, all right, I'm probably going to use the staff that transforms. I'll use the big-ass sword, and I'll use the hammer for certain enemies. Here comes a fourth weapon, and I'm like, oh, shit. There's also an umbrella weapon that, like, has blades on the end of it. Clock. Don't know what that's about. Yeah. This game is just endlessly badass, man. Yeah. Like, I am so having cool. so much fun with
and
it.
And there's so much depth to it, too, where I feel like I'm barely... I've played around 10 hours or so, and I feel like I barely scratched the surface. When you open up the skill tree... For your character, right? If you go down, it just feels like it goes down forever. And there's also skill trees for weapons, right? You can like transform weapons into other weapons, essentially, or like upgrade them to different versions of that same weapon. There's so much going on there. There's so much of the map that I don't have uncovered yet, right? Like I feel like they went in their Duffy in terms of, hey, let's pack as much stuff in here as possible. And it brings me back to listening to my friends talk about Monster Hunter and talk about the amount of hours that they get out of Monster Hunter. And even just a few weeks ago when Greg was in office playing Monster Hunter Rise, we were talking about it, right? It was both of us kind of playing it for review, and Greg's playing more of it because he's more of a Monster Hunter person. And he's like, man, Monster Hunter is fun, man. Like, Monster Hunter is just a fun game.
It's a great loop.
Yeah, and like I when he was saying it, I didn't understand it because I hadn't gotten to that loop yet. Like, I was trying to play Monster Hunter Rise, and I was like, oh, man, I'm getting lost. Like, man, these guys don't have health bars. I don't know when they're going to die. Like, I'm chasing these guys around. Where is the fun at?
To be fair to you, Bless, mm-hmm. Monster Hunter is a tough game to just hop into and play at work with no context to anything. Like,
for sure.
It's a deep game that requires, like, a lot more attention. But once you get into it, it becomes the perfect podcast game.
And that's the thing is, now I totally understand. Yeah. Right? It kind of took Wild Hearts for you to be like, oh, I totally understand what Monster Hunter fans are talking about now, because it is, like, it's just a pure game.
Yeah.
Like, it is just like, hey, man, just go out, grind, get the materials, fight these big monsters, have fun, chase after them, and just, like... And it is a perfect podcast game where I started listening to podcasts while playing, and time was just flying. Like, time was gone. After a while, I was like, I need to go to sleep because it is 11:30, and I'm in bed by 11 because I'm an old person.
Andy, you having your experience with Monster Hunter World specifically, do you think that Wild Hearts is more approachable to new players than Monster Hunter, or is it a similar type of grind?
I think it'd be more approachable for new players only because I feel like this is kind of the ground floor for a lot of new players. Not, I don't think just Monster Hunter fans are going to play this. I think this kind of opens it up to a lot of a big new audience. So everybody's kind of getting in on the ground floor, even though a lot of the basic principles of what makes a Monster Hunter game are all present.
Yeah.
I think it's like, definitely give it a shot. Like, there's some stuff that's going to confuse you a bit at the beginning. Don't get discouraged. Like, you will eventually learn with it. If I can learn, anybody can learn. I have like the worst ADHD possible. I get distracted, and then next thing you know, I miss like a big tutorial, whatever. I want to get back real quick to the Death Stranding aspect of it, which is, again, when you're building in battle, you're building either defensive or offensive things to help you out in battle.
Andy, I want to hear you get back to the Death Stranding stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
But first, I want to hear a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons, and it finds recommends you the best ones. And then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Go for it. Death Stranding.
So, yeah, when you're in battle, you're using your building to kind of help you out, either defend or get offensive against these animals. But when you're just kind of exploring the world and looking for new kind of items to unlock or looking for crafting materials, you also use that same construction to set up big-ass zip lines. You essentially are creating your own fast travel, which is really, really cool. You find spots where Blessy was mentioning. I kind of like putting a campsite. You always start off with your home base campsite, but then you want to explore and then place a new campsite down further in the island. In case you die, it doesn't become a pain in the ass to run back to battle. You can die 3 times up in a battle, which is also really neat.
That's cool, yeah. That's
and doing that, there's a mechanic called these dragon pits. So these dragon pits are kind of laid all around the world, and you have to put elements and resources into them in order to allow you to build more around them. So the game just isn't going to willy-nilly be like, hey, you can put up 17 zip lines here. It's not going to let you just cheese it that way. One of my tiny complaints is that I wish the world were a bit more... It's almost like a driving city trying to become a city with a lot of walking and pedestrians, where it's like you are encouraged to use a lot of these tools, but I don't think the world lends itself to really use these tools as much as you'd like. There are some areas that I would love to just set up zip lines to where it's like, you know, I'd rather do that than fast travel, because ziplining is cool shit. It feels great.
I mean, like, it reminds me a little bit of setting up a zipline in Death Stranding felt like the coolest thing ever.
And it feels great.
Yeah, in this game, it feels pretty good. And you know, I think during the stream, I was talking about how I would have liked a mount or something to get around faster. And you know, you brought up the point of like, they're trying to make you use the tools, but I think there's a balance there that they could hit even better, where it is maybe either teaching the tools a little bit better or making the world feel a bit more supportive of, hey, like, this is the perfect place for a zipline, wink, wink. Like, you want to put up a zipline over here and then over here and make you feel badass in terms of really making the world your own to explore.
Yeah, there are some areas where it's like, I'd love to just be able to zipline to that middle of the map, but there's a big-ass mountain kind of structure in the way, and I just wish it was a bit friendlier for these options, because once you kind of get used to it and find the right spots to start using either ziplines or... There are like these big ass kind of propellers you could put on the ground that like launch you up and get you up really, really high. There's a lot of like different methods of kind of getting around the world. And when you find these new spots and you can put down campsites. So now in each world, I have like around 4 campsites that I can fast travel to or just have a really close spot to in case I die. I can just spawn from this place and I'm right there back into the battle. But yeah, so far there are a couple of places where it's like, oh man, I wish I could just set up 3 zip lines in this perfect way, but this fucking big ass mountain's just in the way, or this like tree just sometimes you shoot the zip line out and it gets caught on like polygons that aren't really there, but the collision is there. So that kind of can be a little pain in the ass sometimes. But it does make the world, I think, a lot more interesting, where you are creating your own fast travel. You are getting around this world on your own accord. You know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is cool is the devs kind of embargo structure for this game is something that I've never seen before, where they actually let us stream the game before the review embargo. Like, we're doing a review now, it's going to hit the embargo for this game, but they let us actually stream the days leading into it for our review coverage, which I think is like such a cool thing that I wish other devs would do. I know not everyone can or wants to, or that wouldn't necessarily make sense, but I do think that it shows confidence in them.
Yeah.
But also hey, let's just, it is what it is. This is a multiplayer focused game. Let's put it out there and actually see people in action doing it, and letting the audience to see that, I think is a really, really cool thing. Right.
And it works smooth as hell too. I'll say that. Like, I'm so used to brand new games coming out and trying to hop in somebody's world and just having the worst time with either connecting or frame rate or big internet drops and stuff like that. But
there was a little bit of that.
I think we were having issues like getting into a party. I think that may be like NAT type stuff,
yeah,
where like I could join Joey's party, Blessing couldn't join us, but then when it was me and Blessing, Joey couldn't join us. Like, stuff like that that isn't necessarily the game, that's just NAT type stuff. That when are we going to figure out NAT type stuff?
Come,
you know,
on, but let that,
for the future, can we focus on two things: male pattern baldness and NAT type?
That's it.
Like, can we figure out
pattern baldness?
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's figure these things out, everybody. So there were some of those issues where we weren't always seeing each other available, and that feel like that happens like in a lot of games.
So it's a 3-player game, mm-hmm, right? And it's crossplay. Yeah.
Yes.
And is it on Xbox and PlayStation?
Yeah, PC,
and
Xbox,
PC?
PlayStation, yeah.
Cool, okay. So then you're saying that like you had a little couple issues, but that it seems simple enough and it works to be able to do the cross-play,
yeah,
join up as a team and play?
Yeah, 100%. There's also a really neat kind of feature that happens where when you're at your kind of home base, your hub world, and I shouldn't say hub world because it's not like you're watching a bunch of other players running around. It's not that type of thing. But every once in a while, there'll be an NPC on top of like one of these structures that you just walk around when you go talk to NPCs to go buy stuff from the shop. And there might be an NPC there that is another player's character. Similar to like a Drivatar is what I would compare it to in Forza, where it's like, oh, that's Blessing in this race, but it's not Blessing actually playing. That's just like representative of him. And there'll be another player where it's like, here's fucking Lord Googly Eye, and here's his EA name and his PSN name. And it's like, this person needs help with a hunt. And I'm not sure what the actual mechanic is there. I do know that it's an easy way to just go fight an animal and take it down and get good XP for it.
Yeah, maybe that's the use case.
I mean, my assumption
possibly
was that,
but like, I don't know if it helps that person. I don't know if they are requesting this, or maybe it pops up when they fail a hunt or something like that. I'm not quite sure exactly how it works, but it was cool to just kind of see a random player, and I've seen like 3 of them so far, where you just walk up to them, they're like, hey, I need help with this hunt. So you go to their world, and then you go, you don't see them playing with you, but you go take down an animal and it like helps them out, I guess, in their game. Because when you fight that animal and you go back to their world, it'll say, do you want to return to your own Minato? And Minato is like your main hub place, whatever the location's called. So I'm not sure exactly what that mechanic is doing, but I think it's pretty neat to be able to help somebody. And if it helps them offline, that's pretty cool. I enjoy that aspect of it.
One thing I like too are the cosmetics and the armors. As you get further in the game and as you fight more monsters, you unlock more armor sets. And they do have, I don't know if it's exactly transmog, but they have a system for you to where you can.
What's happening here?
You can wear an armor set.
I've got a little hat.
Oh, it's a hat.
She was talking to like a
shoulders.
I thought it was headless. So I was like, what the hell's happening? No, okay. Stupid.
They have a system where you can put on a armor visually, but then have the qualities of other armor sets that you put on, which I always love because, you know, I love to be fashionable. I love to put on the armor that I want to wear, right? While also maintaining a lot of the qualities or properties that are in some of the more powerful armor that I acquire.
And that's going to be a question that a lot of people ask, I think, during our stream, was how is the armor system? Is it similar to Monster Hunter? It is. Whenever you kill certain monsters, they will drop their like body part stuff that you will use to craft armor with, and they all have their own properties. So there's like a bird that has like poisonous sort of stuff that it like shoots out of you or whatever. And then if you then kill enough of them and get enough of those parts, you'll have a very, very good poison resistant suit or piece of armor. There's fire resistance. There's ice resistance. There's all that stuff that you just expect. Character creator, fucking awesome.
So
this is one of the best character creators, one of the most expansive character creators I've ever seen. Like, I'm talking a shitload of hairstyles, and in those shitload of hairstyles, you can extend the lengths on the hair. You can add, let's say that dude's hairstyle that we saw a little while ago, where it's like kind of a ponytail back. There might be a front piece of the hair that you can add where it's like, here's bangs, or here's really, really long bangs, or here's like spikes up in the front that you can add to an already existing one. And then with those hairstyles, you can add like a curl modifier to where you can make the hair wavy at a certain point.
Good shit. This is awesome.
It is insanely cool. The amount of colors you can add on them, where it's like adding a highlighted strip, make the roots darker, make the tips lighter, make the tips darker, whatever the hell you want, whatever colors you want. It is so expansive. So like what we're seeing on screen right now, the character art, phenomenal. Like whenever you get into a cutscene and you're looking at a 3D character talking to you, the art is really, really damn good. Great eye rendering. It's a great visual. It's just kind of when you're in the gameplay where the game can look kind of dookie.
One thing I'll throw out there too is I think it might be a Koei Tecmo thing in terms of the character creator thing. Because I noticed a similar level of quality in Neo 2 when I booted up Neo 2 late last year. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Why is this character creator so good? Even talking about the hair options, like black hair options is a thing I harp on a lot, especially when it comes to like From Software games and stuff, right? And like a big excuse that gets thrown around is like, oh man, it's like it's Japanese game development. They don't have the same level of like diversity and availability of black people on the art team, like all that stuff. And between this and Neo 2, I'm like, yo, somebody's figuring it out. Because Neo 2 has a similar pretty quality selection of curly hair. Yeah. And so, yeah, kudos to that. And one thing I want to bring up in terms of, this is a smaller nitpick, because I know story and narrative is not really a bigger part of these games. I think most people are here mainly for the gameplay, but the story is one thing that I'll say. I think the premise is interesting because it is the monsters or the Komodo that you're hunting are essentially ruining the land. Like the more you hunt these things, the more you're kind of like, you know, you're saving the land from devastation. But the English voice acting is not good. I don't know if you've listened to the English.
I switched over to the Japanese voice acting. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I know usually people expect the English VO at least to not be that great in these kind of games, but I feel like this time around it's like noticeably, maybe you should have skipped this one if this is what you're bringing to it.
I think maybe part of it is it does sound like Japanese voice actors speaking English. And trying to, it's like the old David Cage kind of thing happening where you had a bunch of Swedish people trying to sound American.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, what are we going to do over here? You know, like, yeah, and you could tell, like, just speak with an accent. It's okay. You don't have to like try to sound like you're fucking Jonathan from New York. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's all right. But I did switch to the Japanese voice acting because this is kind of based on feudal Japan. All true stories, all these monsters were real. No, it's like meant to be in feudal Japan. It's very much that vibe. So I switched over to the Japanese voice acting, much like I did when I played Sekiro, and it fits great, and it works, and it's awesome. So I would recommend doing that if you're like, oh, this voice acting isn't too awesome, just switch to the Japanese. It sounds way cooler.
Any closing words on Wild Hearts?
I plan to play more. I really want to put in way more time into this game because I'm very surprised by how good of a time I'm having, and I'm hoping more people jump into it so that we have more people to play with, right? Like, I think that's my main thing. Is this seems like a perfect game to spend time with people, right? In the way that I look at Fortnite as one of those games of, hey, this is a way to hang out with my friends. This seems like a perfect one of those, but then also it seems like a perfect grind game if you want to put on a podcast or put on an album and really just like lose yourself to the game. I think it's a really good one of those.
Yeah, that perfect grind game of, I just need one more of these, of this monster's fucking finger toe.
Yeah.
Finger toe. I need that nail piece or that back piece or whatever the hell to then upgrade this weapon even further. And you can upgrade your weapons to like be a fire version of it or the ice version. So all that stuff is just, it's just got a great loop. I cannot recommend it anymore. I think it's like a definite must play if you're into action RPGs. You can play it by yourself and still have a great time. That's how I played like 90% of it, and I'm having a blast.
Hell yeah. That's super awesome, man. Go check it out.
Yeah, good win. I'm like happy that it's game came out.
It was like a little iffy. It was like could maybe not.
Another one I want to say is like a good win for EA Originals as well.
Yeah, right?
Like
good on
holy
them.
Cow, they've had such a streak between you talk
we
about.
Keep it, saying it, dude. It EA, two, man, they're kicking ass.
Yeah, like I think they're choosing really good projects to greenlight, and I think putting out a Monster Hunter competitor is something we've seen a lot and something that I feel like never sticks. You know, I've seen Dauntless come and go. I've seen other Monster Hunter style games come and go. This seems like one that might stick. And at the very least, it seems like one that is very quality. And so, yeah, good for them for finding a vision. And also, yeah, EA Originals for having this game be a part of it. Because also for like an action RPG from Koei Tecmo from Japan, that is especially something you don't see out of EA Originals.
Yeah, totally.
Usually you see like, It Takes Two or the smaller Western games. So good on them for diversifying and good on them for finding the right team to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been playing that, but I have been playing a game called Blanc that I want to review for you guys
Benoit. Right now.
Exactly, Benoit Blanc, baby. I talked a little bit about this on Kind of Funny Games Daily. If I were to give it a review on the Kind of Funny scale, I'd give it a 3 out of 5, which is our okay. But I don't think that that is a great representation of what makes this game actually good and in some ways amazing. Like I think the experience of this game is very special, and I think it's very personal to me because this is the first game that Gia has ever beaten. We did it together.
Whoa.
We played co-op through the entire thing, and that was such a special experience, and I really want to credit the game for being the perfect 5 out of 5 type game for that experience of somebody that is not a gamer at all, that someone like me, a gamer, wants to introduce to the idea of games and could this be something that you enjoy? And she has been dabbling here and there on some stuff. She's been playing Marvel Snap a lot, like I've talked about, and she's been playing through Pokemon Fire Red, which is awesome. But this is different, right? This is a bit more of like a 3D, like walking around. There's puzzles to figure out.
Good.
I'd say it's a bit more of like it's a video game ass video game from just like a gameplay perspective.
Is it like in the journey sort of?
It is. I'd say a little bit more puzzle based. Like it's a little bit more like screen to screen. Every screen has a puzzle, or some of the screens are more like momentum traversal based for fun. But the pitch of Blanc is it's a very 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 small game made by a very very small team. It's the first game that they ever put out. Published by Gearbox, but this is the first time, which is, again, interesting with the EA type conversation we just had, but it is a co-op game where you play as a little wolf cub and a baby deer, a fawn.
A fawn.
And the fawn is white with black eyes, and the little wolf cub is black with white eyes, and everything else in the world is this snow-covered landscape, and it's all white and black, and it is beautiful. Like it is such an amazing art piece, and it's so well designed visually that like it's one of those every frame of painting type situations where the entire game could be a wallpaper. Like it just looks so damn good.
Put that shit in night mode though. It's too much.
It's very bright. It's very bright, but it does not outstay its welcome. I think that is something that is a real good plus for me for this. This whole game, less than 3 hours. And that is playing with somebody that doesn't know how to play games. So I do think that it could be even shorter for others. And you could even play by yourself where half the controller controls one of them and half controls the other using the two sticks and basic buttons where one of them is essentially interact and another one is run. And it's this cute little game.
What about parry?
There's no parry. Waiting for it to come. But it's this cute little game that is so wholesome. Like, I've never played a game this wholesome where, like, it's not about, like, the darkness and sadness of humanity. It's, like, legitimately just two homies hanging out and, like, working together. And the whole pitch of it, like, the point of the game the devs were saying is empathy and really working with what you have to help others and realizing what others have that you don't that can help you. And going through, and it starts with just the two of them, but as you go through, you meet a lot of other little woodland creatures that kind of need help, and like you help them out, and it's great because there's no dialogue, there's no text, they just throw you in, and it is the closest I've ever felt to playing a Pixar short, which is so cool, you know, and it really has those like emotional moments where I felt emotionally affected by this game, less from the moments happening on screen and more from like what it was creating with me and G playing, which is very special and cool. And like, I think that it's well designed for that reason, where it's a very approachable game for new gamers. it allowed me to, in the beginning, kind of give her the initial, this is how this works, interact means this, run with this, like hold this down to whatever the basics. And then pretty quickly, she was the one giving me instructions. She was the one like, oh, I think it's over here. And like she solved a couple of the puzzles before I did, which I thought was like really cool. And that's to the game's credit. Like it's designed in a way that anybody that's paying attention to it can kind of grasp what's going on and have a lot of fun with it. On a gameplay side, it's pretty damn simple. It can be frustrating in some moments where I'm like, I know exactly what I need to do here, but it's kind of the physics based. Like
fights against you a little bit.
It fights against you. Some of the controls, because it's so beautiful and it's so well animated, the animations aren't as in line with you moving the way you want to move. Like us gamers, perfect example I can give. We've all played Ocarina of Time. How do you get around in Ocarina of Time? You're just fucking rolling over and over and over and you look like a jackass. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's like so annoying to watch or listen to, but it's like, we're trying to get somewhere fast. We know the mechanics of it. This game doesn't allow that. This game is very much like, no, it's beautiful and you're going to see it all. Mm-hmm. So it can get kind of frustrating in that way. Technically, there's a lot of like shuttery motions and like some weird pop-ins. You can't control the camera at all. And that can get a little frustrating when one of you goes a little too far from the other and it just kind of like pulls in a weird way.
Really quick in context, what platform did you two play on?
I played on Switch. Okay. It's also available on PC. It's $15, small title as well. I can't imagine it running much better anywhere. Like it just kind of, I don't think it's like the tech isn't there. I think it's just kind of like, because of how it's animated, it's kind of like gets in the way there. And some of the puzzles are physics based where there's like wind and like you're trying to help like little ducklings get across a bridge and you have to like block the wind. And
on the other side, there's alligators in the water. You gotta watch it die.
Kind of. But it can get kind of hard where like I see where the wind lines are going, but the hitbox is just a little off. Mm. So it can get kind of frustrating where it's like, I know exactly what I need to do, but it's not letting me do it. But honestly, those are the only criticisms I have. I think that it's a really cool experience that I would recommend to. You can look at this game and understand if it's worth your time or not. And I think that if you're like, oh, this looks kind of cool, you're going to think it's really cool. And it's short enough that it's worth the time investment into it. I don't know if it'd be worth playing alone. I do think that this is a great date game. Came out on Valentine's Day. And like that is,
hell yeah,
freaking perfect. But I could see me and G playing this next year, you know, maybe make it like a Valentine's Day tradition or something. But really cool little game. Shout out to you guys for doing something cool. And I can't wait to see what that team works on next.
Two Joy-Cons? Yeah.
Or
did you like
we both use pro controllers, you know what I mean?
Civilized.
Got them back paddles on my fancy 8-bit dough one,
no drift.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, this has been the Kind of Funny Gamescast. We're reviewing a ton of stuff. We're gonna cut this one here because Bless needs to go record PS I Love You XOXO, which will be, can we say exactly what it is?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, cool. It'll be the PSVR 2 review and the Horizon Call of the Mountain review. Him, Janet, and Paris joining for that one. I think both the pieces of content, this that you're watching now, and that will be out within hours of each other.
Yes.
So just stay tuned. Again, Kind of Funny popping off.
By the time you're listening to this, that is already out.
Then boom. Good now, right now. Cut this. Go there. Till next time. Love you all. Bye.
All right, buddy.